some of the tough stuff. And I found this picture this week as well, and I thought it was kind of, I know what you, what do you think that is?
Pennsylvania.
It is, yeah. It's a guy observing a pothole. I give this a new title. It's the pastor trying to figure out how to preach through a rough road. And he's pondering how to get this. How do I get down this road? Because I want to get down this road. I am at year 16 or 15 here at New Life. So I've already broke the curve on the four-year thing. So I'm starting to get into maybe some of the harder stuff to preach on. And so I can appreciate the picture of a guy trying to observe not only the pothole of life, but how do I help through the scripture? How do I help those down this road? How do I preach about the difficult things of the Bible? And there are passages of scripture and topics that pastors are tempted to drive around. One of the major ones is giving or tithing. And I have been told before that I'm weak in that. That I need to preach more about giving or tithing. I've also been offered by others out in the ministry, if you need somebody to preach on giving or tithing, I know it might be too hard for you to do. I will come and do that for you. I said, well, thank you, but no thank you. If I can get into somebody's life when they just lost their child, if I can get into somebody's mixed up marriage, I'm definitely going to get in their wallet. I have no problem stepping into your wallet. If I get stepping into your lostness, or I get stepped into your miscarriage, or I'm stepping into the funeral of some loved one in your family, or I'm stepping into an upside down marriage, I am not afraid of your wallet. We're not going there today, but we're going to go there. Just so you know, you want to know some statistics on that? The average Christian gives about 2.5% of their income. You know what it was during the Great Depression? 3.3% of their income. We got a problem. So statistically, if we would give, the whole church would give 10% of their income, we would solve world hunger in 5 years. We would address illiteracy in this world in a very short period of time. We would have wells at every village that needed clean water around this world, and we would have $100 million left over. That's just the church. Quit whining about the government. It's us. We can solve the world's issues. Not only the spiritual issues. We can solve world hunger in 5 years if just the Christians, just the believers in Christ would give 10%. Well, I'll get in your wallet. I'm not afraid of your wallet. I've looked down that pothole road before. It's tempting to drive around some of that stuff. But when I start seeing what we can do, we're not driving around it. You know other things that are hard to preach on? How about this one? Quoting out of Song of Solomon. I couldn't even quote the first 9 verses. I read it to Cheryl this week, and she said, "You're not going to quote that, are you?" Have you ever heard a sermon on that? I am my lover's, the one he desires. Come, my love, let us go into the field and spend the night among the wild flowers. That's not preaching about a spiritual thing. I'll dare bet you there's not many sermons on that. Because it's a rough road to preach. And if it wasn't a mixed crowd and young ones here, I would have read the first 9 verses as well. We'll handle that in men's group. Sometimes it's hard to preach a passage, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 contains a bunch of those things that I think that are hard to preach. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul kind of starts to lay out. He says this in verse 1, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? Are you not the result of my work? And I doubt you'll ever hear a pastor preach on things like, you know how many hoops, push the button, you know how many hoops I jumped through just so this church could be here? Do you know how much training it took, Paul says, for me to stand here? Do you know how much it took? Do you know how much of my personal savings I spent so that this could go on? Do you know how many sleepless nights were given so I could think about, Paul says, so I could think about how to get the church to you? Do you know how risky it was? You probably will never hear a preacher preach on how he has given and given and given and how he has laid awake trying to think about how to get into people's lives and into your life, and how much he gave so that we could be here today, how much he gave so we could have a church in the middle of East Freedom, how much he gave, how many sleepless nights, just to, I don't think we're going to hear a lot of messages about those things. How about verse 2? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, exclamation point. For you are the seal of my apostleship. You may never hear a pastor talk about the frustration how frustrating it is for someone to think they're only a hired hand. And somehow, pastors do what you tell them. If you've got a pastor that's a hired hand, if you've got a pastor that's only, in the first place, shut up. Paul says, you've got to be kidding me. You think I'm a hired hand? You think you could tell me? No, I don't want to be arrogant either. I'm just saying this morning, I think you're going to find it very interesting if a pastor ever preaches on 1 Corinthians 9, verse 2, with that kind of language. Don't treat me like a hired man. Verse 3, this is my defense to those who sit in judgment of me. Have you ever heard a pastor talk about how they've experienced attacks from the critical and negative Christians around them? I mean, you heard about it. I get it. Do you ever heard a message preached on that? It's hard things to preach on. Verses 4 and 6 says this, don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us as do the other apostles and the Lord's own brothers and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I that have to work for a living? I don't know if you ever hear a message on, you may never hear a pastor talk, push the button. Push the button, please. You may never hear a pastor talk about how challenging it is for him and his family to be in ministry. Verses 7, look what he says. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? And then he goes on to through that through verse 11. If we have sown spiritual seeds among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? Know what he's talking about there? Pay package. You know, the average pastor in Pennsylvania makes $15.88 an hour. You ever heard a message on that? You ever hear a pastor talk about the pay package, the benefit, the perks the local church offers or does not offer? Have you ever heard a message on that? See, some things are really hard to talk about that are in the Bible. And when the pastor's got the main teaching job, how many of those have we ever heard about? How many of those, so we hire, maybe we get a hired gun in here. Hey, say, can you tell them how they should be treating me? Now, I'm more than willing to tell people and to unpack the scripture for people. I'm just saying some things are really tough to preach. Some things are really tough to talk about. Some things are easier to drive around. Some of the things, I just see the pothole and I want to drive around it. Look at verse 12. If others have the right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we didn't use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. You may never hear a pastor talk about the lack of people or money to advance the kingdom work in the community. Look at what he says in verse 16. Yet, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel! I know what that compelled feeling feels like. I know what he's talking about that. I know what he says. I am not in this gig because of the pay. I am not in this gig. Push the button. I am not in this gig. Please push the button. I am not in this gig for the pay, for the retirement benefits, for the perks, or even the sign-on bonus. I am not in this gig because it is easy and takes little sacrifice. I am in this gig because I am compelled. Push the button, please. I am in this gig because God placed His hand on me 9,089 days ago. I figured it up to this very hour, 218,105 hours ago. God placed His hand on me and He has not picked it off. I am compelled to do what I do. I know what he's talking about. And I am compelled to be here to do what I do. Let me tell you, there is no one, perhaps no one, who wants more for you than I do. There is no one who hurts more for you when you fall down or sin gets reattached to you than I do. There is no one who weeps over you more than I do. I know what it feels like to be compelled. There is no one who is more in your corner than I am. There is no one who prays more intently for you than perhaps I do. I know what it feels like to be compelled. I give my life for your faith journey. It is my call. It is my compelling. Your faith journey matters to me. I do not want you to walk up to victory line and then retreat. I do not want you to only get close. I want you to have victory. I want you to run over the line. I want you to run with everything you've got. I understand what it feels like to be compelled. And in ministry, you better be compelled. Let me tell you what I want for you. Because a believer's life is so challenging and so important, you need a pastor. Let me tell you what you don't need: a hired man. You need a pastor. The scriptures say he gave some to be pastors. Some to be pastors. Why? Because we need pastors. And you need a pastor. And I'm the guy right now. And I had a cardiology appointment on Friday. I might be the guy for a while longer. But as of this moment, right here, I'm the guy. And I take this job seriously. And I got wants for you. I got things I want that I get up in the morning and I go toward. I want you to fight. I want you to not be okay with coming close. I want you to grit your holy teeth. I want you to be a spiritual street fighter. I want you to not be okay just getting in the batter's box. I want you to hit. And when you hit, I want you to get so excited that you shout to the mountaintops. And when you strike out, I want you to beat the ground with your bat. I never yelled at the girls that I coached when they would strike out and they would turn around and they would strike the bat on the ground. I said, yeah! You should get irritated and say, no, God, I am not going to do that. I will not use my voice other than to bring honor and glory to you. And I'm mad that I did yesterday. I want you to get irritated, and I don't want you to stay in that irritation. I want you to get motivated. Psalm 20 says this, may the Lord answer you when you call. In your distress, may He answer. May the name of the Lord, of the God of Jacob, protect you. If the Lord's going to answer, we need to be calling. And Matthew says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be opened. I want you to be askers, seekers, and knockers. You want to know what I do? I've entitled this message, Pastor's Job Description. You want to know what I do for 50, 60, 70 hours a week? This is what I do. I want you to be an asker. I want you to have this communication with God. I want you to be hear from God. I want you to receive and find. And I want the doors to be open for you. I want His voice to become so familiar to you that you know in a split second that it's God. You want to know what I do? That's what I do. You want to know what I want? That's what I want. You know what that compelling feels like? That is what it feels like. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Out of God's sanctuary and out of Zion and out of the kingdom of God, I want you to receive power. I want you to receive courage and strength and fortitude and grit and purpose and victory and direction and the supernatural ability from God. That's what I want. Verse 3 says, may He remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. These offerings were given and to receive to secure pardon for sin and have the favor of God set on them. I want you to seek and receive forgiveness. I want you to stop blaming somebody else. I just want you to seek and receive forgiveness. I want the hand of God, I want the sin to leave and the divine favor, push the button, the divine favor of God to settle on you. You want what I want? And I get frustrated sometimes in my own life, but I get frustrated in your life too when I see you keep hanging on to sin and keep hanging on to sin and keep hanging on to sin. And Jonah says, woe to those who cling to worthless idols. They forfeit the grace that could be theirs. I want you to seek and receive forgiveness, and I want that forgiveness, the reality of sin leaving your life, and that void that sin was taking up, the favor of God to pour into it. That's what I want. Verse 4 says this, may He give you the desires of your heart and make your plans succeed. I want God to pour out His blessing. Push the button. I want God to pour out His blessing onto you. Man, I want Him to bless you. I want Him to pour it out. And I want you not to worry about whether you deserve it or not, because you don't. I just want you to stand with arms wide open. And I want you to receive the blessing from God one after another, after another, after another. That's what I want. I want you to succeed. Man, I want you to be the dad like you want to be. I want to see you succeed and walk with people in ministry and take people and meet them where they're at. I want to see you thrive. I want to see God pour His blessing into you. I want you to succeed. The scriptures go on with this. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and I will lift up and lift up our banners in the name of our God. I want us to get so excited for one another. I went, woo! Did you see that, Tyler? Woo! Did you see that blessing fall on Tobin? Woo! I want somebody to give a testimony. Man, God showed up in my life. Woo! I just want to, you ever been to the ball game? I've been to the Buffalo Bills Stadium. And when they do score, which is maybe infrequent in past years, but when they do score, the whole crowd, 50,000 people, woo! Wouldn't that be awesome if we came to church? And Tobin says, I did not praise God with my voice yesterday, but today I'm praising Him. Woo! Everybody's just losing it. That's what I want. See, I want to be accused kind of like the apostles. Those dudes are drunk. No, it's not. It's only 11. They're just filled. Do you hear what's going on among them? And they're cheering each other on. Man, that's what I want. Please don't go away from here thinking, man, we need to pay that guy more. That's not what I'm after. But the next time somebody talks about something and you feel like whooping and hollering, let it out. If people are visiting here and they leave here thinking we're drunk, we got it. Just so you know, when they thought Peter was drunk, 3,000 people came to Christ that day. Lord, drunken me up. Look what he says in verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. I want you to know that you're anointed. That's not even one of my wants today, but that just come to me. I want you to know you're anointed. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He answers him from His holy heaven with the saving power of His right hand. I want you to fully expect God to show up in your life. No matter what storm is around, no matter what is going on, no matter what the world's trying to beat you with, I want you to stand with arms wide open and say, what are you doing, dude? I'm waiting for God to show up because I know He'll show up. Then I want the rest of us saying, woo! Do you see what's happening? I'm not after more vacation. But I'm after more of God. Not only in my life, in your life. I'm compelled. Verse 7 says this. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I want you to trust in the name of the Lord your God. Say, God, I don't know if this money's going to be around in my savings account. It's cool that it's here now, but God, if it goes away, I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord my God. And God, I'm glad I'm healthy right now, but if that ever changes, I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord my God. Every single morning I get up and I put this little wooden cross in my pocket. And I say this out loud in my kitchen, Lord, my soul clings to you today. Uphold me with your right hand. Because I am going to trust in the name of the Lord my God today. And I want that same thing for all of us. I want us to trust in the name of the Lord our God. Verse 8 says this, they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. The theys are the enemy. I want you to be so confident that the enemy will be defeated. We sing it out loud, but are we confident? I want you to be confident that the enemy will lose in your life. That he has been, past tense, has been defeated. And I want you to be so confident that you will rise up. Will you stop looking at your shoes and start looking at your God? Get your head up in the heavens. I've heard the phrase before, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Not possible if you're really heavenly minded. I want you to be confident that you will rise up, that whatever's got you by the short hairs right now will lose, they will fall, and you will rise up. And I want you to be confident that your grandsons and your sons and your daughters and your granddaughters and your grandsons and the people of your house and your husband and your wife, I want you to be confident that God will raise them up and defeat the enemy in their life. Can you imagine just standing and say, God, I had no idea. And they don't know what to do and I can do nothing. But I trust in the name of the Lord my God. And I call it down from heaven. That's what I want. And then I want the rest of us going, woo! Did you see what's going on over there? Verse 9 is where this psalm ends. And the prayer warrior for this week read through this psalm, and they came to the end. And they had a text for me. I'm going to share that text with you. The text from the prayer warrior said this, God put something on my heart, and he wants me to say to you. So I just put this one in there. It says, I want you to want this for me. I want you to want Psalm 20 for me. Here's the text in part. Push the button. In the Psalms passage, the Israelites were praying over David, King David, and that you are our leaders. I took this as the word of the Lord came to me. And that we as a church need to pray for you. Satan does not use your health problems or other things to distract you from your calling. I want you to pray that. I got one more want. What's this? I want you to want this for those around you. Will we be a church that Psalms 20 each other? I'm Psalms 20-ing you. Will you Psalms 20 me? And then will you Psalms 20 each other? I'm in this gig because I'm compelled. 9,086 days ago, July 18th, Thursday, 7 o'clock in the evening, God put his hand on me. And he has not taken it off. This is what I want. This is what I do. Stand with me. Father, thank you for these moments together. And Father, I know that there are things that are very challenging to preach on. But I also know sometimes I just all the time as a pastor, I just need to let my heart go. Just let it out. We deal, as pastors, we deal with the junk of this world, and we deal with maybe judgmental and disgruntled Christians and the world alike. And maybe we have a harder time and maybe we don't. I don't know. I was lost and then I was a pastor, so I have no idea. I never was a found just Christian. So I don't know, God. But I know what you have compelled me to do. And I, Psalms 20, this group of people on in this room, in the safe room perhaps, and on the computer, I Psalms 20 them. In the name of Jesus, I Psalms 20 them. May my wants reflect your wants, and may you pour it out on us, God. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.